We're going to be beginning to meet for that, and we're going to be praying. We're trusting God that He's going to do a mighty work, even here at Dean Road Chapel. I believe that He is. And not only here at Dean Road Chapel, we're going to be trusting God to see His Word go forth from here and into the surrounding areas. In the will of the Lord, we'd like to see new assemblies planted in the Jacksonville area. And so, God is able. God is faithful. And may we be. I was thinking this morning as we sang again how fitting it was. Wonderful to come together and to sing. Singing is a wonderful thing when it's done as unto the Lord. Studying the religions of the world, you'll find one thing that's absent from most of them, and that is singing or hymns, at least those of a joyful nature. But when you come to Christianity, it's just the opposite. Christianity is full of song. And down through the ages, the saints of God have lifted their hearts and their voices in praise to Almighty God and to His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and lifted their hearts in song, sometimes joyful, sometimes more worshipful. But yet, Christianity has been full of songs. It's interesting to note that in some of the foreign countries where the gospel has gone forth, one of the things that has influenced those that are in pagan and heathen countries is the singing of Christianity. They know nothing really of the joyful songs of praise unto the Lord. And, you know, down through the ages also, there have been those who have incorporated singing in the church. Do you know that several hundred years ago, 400 years ago, 500 years ago, what we just finished doing was rarely, if ever, practiced. That is congregational singing. Martin Luther, the great reformer, was one who believed that the congregations of God's people ought to sing and to praise Him and be the ones who sang. And so, it's fairly recent, as far as the Christian church as a whole would go, or Christendom, that congregational singing even has been the thing to do. And yet we know and believe that this is right. And the Bible has many, many songs recorded in it. The book of Psalms, almost all of those psalms we see were made to either be put to music or to be lifted in praise to God. Many of the psalms that record life's deepest feelings and tragedies and hopes and expectations are actually songs unto God and were sung by the Israelites. And we come here in Exodus chapter 15 to the first song that's recorded in the Bible. This is the first song we have recorded in the Bible in Exodus chapter 15. Let's read from the first verse. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare Him an habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt Him. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath He cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank into the bottom as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of Thine excellency, Thou hast overthrown them that rose up against Thee. Thou sentest forth Thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of Thy nostrils the waters were gathered together. The flood stood upright as an heap, and the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil, my lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with Thy wind, the sea covered them. They sank as lead in the mighty waters. Who is like unto Thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like Thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth the people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm they shall be as still as a stone. Till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in, and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. And Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand, and all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Here's the first song that we have recorded in the Word of God. Now keep your place there, but turn to another 15th chapter, Revelation, in chapter 15. In the last book of the Bible, in chapter 15. Revelation, chapter 15, and verse 2. Because it's here that we have the last song recorded in the Bible. Revelation 15 and verse 2. And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou only art holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. And you see, the first song we have recorded in the Bible is in Exodus chapter 15. It's the song of Moses. And in the last chapter, in the last book of the Bible, the last song we have recorded is sung again. It's the song of Moses and of the Lamb. But back in Exodus chapter 15, let's just refresh our memories of what we've been looking at. And last week we were looking at the 14th chapter, and I thought it important that we not get off on anything but continue right on the series that we've been looking at, and that is the journey of the Israelites from the land of Egypt to the promised land, from Egypt to Canaan. Now remember, and for those that are here with us for the first time or haven't been with us in the past couple of weeks, we've seen the Israelites in Egypt. They were in Egyptian bondage. They were in bondage to Pharaoh. And Egypt pictures to us a picture of the world. Pharaoh, the god of this world. The children of Israel were in bondage to Pharaoh. There was nothing they could do. And they cried. There was no singing in the land of Egypt. As a matter of fact, it's stated that they sighed. No singing, no song, just sighing. And their cry came up to God, who had promised over 400 years before that, that he was going to lead them out of that Egyptian bondage. And God raised up a deliverer, Moses. And we saw the plagues that came upon the land of Egypt until finally that 10th and final plague came, which was the death of all the firstborn in the land of Egypt. And God told them to take that lamb, a firstborn of the flock, without blemish, without spot, and to kill that lamb, to shed his blood, and to catch it in a basin. Take that blood that was in that basin and take some hyssop, which is a bush, and apply that blood over the lintels of the door. For that night at midnight, the destroyer was going to pass through the land, and all of the firstborn of the land that were not covered by the blood were going to be slain. And so all that heeded the word of the Lord put that blood over their house. And inside there was perfect peace and perfect safety within. And that speaks of that first aspect of redemption, redemption by the blood. Even for us, there is perfect peace and perfect safety if we're in the Lord Jesus Christ, because we come under the shelter of His shed blood. And so there was safety there, and then we know that God told them while they were there, they're going to need strength for their journey. They were to feast upon the roasted lamb, and they were to feast upon unleavened bread. For 7 days they were to eat unleavened bread. And that speaks of the purity and the holiness of the believer's life. After we get saved, we trust Christ as Savior, we're to live a holy life. God wants a separated people. He wants a holy people unto His name. And so there was a week there that pictures the life of the believer. And there was no leaven to be in the house. All the leaven was to be put away. And it speaks of our life. God wants us to live a holy life. And we're called a holy priest in the Bible, each and every believer. And then, as they journeyed forth, they left the land of... they began their journey from the land of Egypt there. And God told them, there's a certain way I want you to go. And He led them forth by the pillar of cloud by day and by the fire by night. And He led them right to the spot where they were trapped. There was no way out. No way to go but forward, He said. And the only thing that stood there was the Red Sea. And I believe it wasn't a little part of the Red Sea. I think it was a big part. It was big enough for Pharaoh and all his host to get swallowed up in. Wasn't any couple of inches of water or any of that stuff. This was a big sea. It had to be. We read the water stood up as a heap. And God divided the Red Sea. They were trapped. There were mountains on one side, desert on another, and as they turned and looked back, they saw Pharaoh and all his host. And God said to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. You're going to see all your enemies destroyed. And there's the second aspect of redemption. Redemption by the blood and redemption by power. God says, I want you to see all your enemies destroyed in that Red Sea. You're going to go through that sea, which to you would normally be death, is going to be the way of life for you. And we looked a little bit into Romans 6 and saw the truth that we who have trusted Christ, died with Him, were dead to sin. How shall we then live any longer in it? All our enemies have been destroyed. There's nothing there that remains. The power of Satan was defeated at the cross. The old man was nailed to the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ crucified there. And when He died, we died. When He was buried, we were buried. And praise God, when He rose again, we rose again. And we're seated in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. What can touch us there, seated at God's right hand in Him? What enemy can harm us there? Who can pluck us from God's hand? There's no enemy. Nothing shall separate us from the love of Christ. And God wanted them to see that. He said, I want to get you right to this place, and I want you to look and see your enemies destroyed. And I think God wants us to see that. He wants us to realize that all our enemies have been wiped out through the death, the burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that now we can go forward to serve Him in freeness and liberty and the Spirit. And now they looked, and you see in verse 31, just before chapter 15 there, Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. And so what's the next thing they do? The very next thing, they lift up a song of praise to Him. Redemption song. Redemption song. That's the first thing. And it emphasizes to us the joy of salvation and showing us the nature also of true praise unto God. And the song was an expression of thanks for their deliverance. And it's such a natural thing to do. It's the response of the redeemed heart to sing unto the Lord, to sing the songs of praise to the Lord. That's a very natural response for a redeemed heart. And we find that spontaneously happen. The Lord didn't give them instructions and say, when you get on the other side, you start singing. It was just spontaneously. They looked, they saw their deliverance, and for the first time in the Bible, we hear them lift a song of praise to God and thanks for the mighty deliverance that He'd wrought on their behalf. And how many times have we done the very same thing? The joy of salvation that comes. And now, the application of this, I want us to look at the application because I think it applies in a couple of different ways. We're going to look at a couple of them. First, of course, as we've already mentioned historically, I mean, this is what the Israelites did when they came out of Egypt. No singing in Egypt, no song there. But when they come out, we have this song recorded. They saw the mighty hand of God move in their behalf, and they lifted their hearts in praise and thanksgiving to Him, magnifying the Lord and praising Him. But you know, there's a different aspect of this as well. I think of that psalm that tells us, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, in the city of our God, the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation, joy of the whole earth, is Mount Zion on the sides of the north, the city of the great King." Now think about that for a minute. Beautiful for situation, joy of the whole earth, Israel. Is Israel the joy of the whole earth now? Not many people that are happy with the nation Israel. But that psalm is going to be fulfilled. Many of the psalms look forward prophetically to what's going to happen to Israel in the future. And there's coming a day when that godly remnant will sing to praise to God, and that city again will be beautiful. The joy of the whole earth, because the Lord Jesus Christ Himself is going to rule and reign from that city. And we look in Isaiah in chapter 12, and we see this future aspect of the song of redemption here. Isaiah in chapter 12. In the first verse. Isaiah chapter 12 and verse 1. "And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. And in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord. Call upon His name. Declare His doings among the people. Make mention that His name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for He hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee." Now, we can make a lot of applications of Isaiah 12 to our own life, and I believe that that's fitting that we do so. We can say that God is our salvation. With joy, we can draw water out of the wells of salvation, and so on. But the primary interpretation of this verse is literal. There's going to be a coming day when Israel will sing in this way. "In that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I'll praise thee." Isn't that going to be a glorious day? When Israel lifts up and exalts the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the one they're going to sing to. That's the one they're going to cry to. That's the Lord Jehovah that is their strength and song, and they're going to recognize that. And they're going to sing praise to Him. And the inhabitants of Zion, that godly remnant, is going to praise God, for the great, the Holy One of Israel will be in their midst. And I think that's what this song pictures to us as well. Other parts of the book of Isaiah, chapter 51. Chapter 51. And verse 11. "Therefore, the redeemed of the Lord shall return and come with singing unto Zion." Shall flee away. Chapter 54 and verse 1. "Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear, Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. There's coming a day when desolate, barren Israel is going to break forth fruitfully unto the Lord and sing the praises of none other than the Lord Jesus Christ as they recognize Him as their Messiah. Glorious day that's going to be. The Holy One of Israel will be in the midst of them. And of course, we've already seen a picture of those martyred saints who that remnant in Revelation 15 who lift up the song of Moses with a distinct difference. There it's not just the song of Moses. It's the song of Moses and the Lamb. The song of Moses and the Lamb. And they'll recognize the Lamb of God that was slain for their redemption. Now back in the book of Psalms, in chapter 40, to get to the application to us. Psalms, chapter, Psalm 40, in the first verse. Psalm 40, in verse 1. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. I think this is, first of all, a messianic psalm. In other words, it's a psalm that has to do with the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's still application for us as well. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. And here, I think, is the application of the song of redemption to our lives. He brought me up out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock, established my goings, and put a new song in my mouth. And I think every child of God can say amen to that. Because that's what's happened to us. We were in that miry clay, horrible pit of sin and sin in the world. And the Lord Jesus Christ lifted us up out of there, set us upon a solid rock, a firm foundation, Himself, who is the rock. And He put a new song in our heart, in our mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear the Lord. And shall trust in the Lord. Many shall see it in fear and trust in the Lord. Redemption song. Isn't it a wonderful thing that the saints of God can sing unto Him the song of redemption? You know, and it's often been said that we can sing the song that the angels can't sing. You know, looking in the Bible, and if you find differently, I'd like you to point it out to me, but I've noticed that the angels of God are never mentioned as singing. They never mentioned his singing. We see the angels say, we see the angels speak, but we don't find them singing. And we certainly don't find them singing the song of redemption. And the angels, the glorious things that they know, probably the insight that they have that we don't have into spiritual affairs, yet the angels of God have never been redeemed with the blood of the Lamb. They don't know what it's like to have experienced salvation in Jesus Christ. They can't lift the song of redemption. But we can. We can. And God wants us to. He wants us to lift our hearts in praise to Him. If the redeemed of the Lord don't say so, who will? Who will? God wants us to lift a song of praise unto Him. And I think it should characterize our entire life. You ever notice in the Bible how closely that singing and redemption are connected together? They seem to be the natural accompaniments that go together. Redemption and singing, we find it throughout the Word of God. You know, I was looking at the life of the Lord Jesus, and there are only two times that I can find Him mentioned as singing. Him mentioned as singing. The first time that I find Him singing was when He instituted the Lord's Supper. You remember, they sang a hymn, and then they went out. They sang a hymn. And there's the first time we see the Lord Jesus singing, at least that we have mention of it. He probably did sing at other times, but the Word of God is recorded in that way. It's very significant to note. There is the institute of the Lord's Supper, that beautiful picture of our redemption in Him. He sings a praise, and they sang. And then the second time is in connection with the resurrection. When He said, quoting back from Psalm 22 and on in the book of Hebrews, that He was going to sing the praises of God in the midst of the great congregation. And He sang when He was resurrected. He led the chorus. And I find in Revelation in chapter 5, in the first verse, and as John says, he saw the right hand of Him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. In verse 2, I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and loose the seals thereof?" In verse 3, no man in heaven or in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, "Weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." And he goes on to describe that scene, and then he gets to verse 9, and he says, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, and to open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain, and hast redeemed us to God by Thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth." Are you ready to sing? Are you tuned up? Do you know redemption's song? Because you know what we're going to be singing about when we get to heaven? We get to be with the Lord Jesus? We're going to be singing about redemption.
Amen.
We're going to be singing about the blood of the Lamb. There are those today who say they don't like to hear about this slaughterhouse religion of Christianity. There are those who have even taken hymn books and removed the word blood from the hymn books, from all the songs that have to do about the blood. There are even some translations of the Bible around today that have taken the word blood completely out of them. They don't want this bloody slaughterhouse religion, they call it. Well, you know what? When we get to heaven, we're going to be singing about the blood. We're going to be praising the Lamb who shed His blood to wash us from our sins. Praise the Lord. The blood of Jesus Christ. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission.
Amen.
Thank God for the blood. And we're thankful it's in the book. The Bible is a bloody book. As it's been said before, anywhere you cut it, it bleeds. The book about blood. The life of the flesh is in the blood. And the blood of the Lord Jesus had to be shed. His life given for redemption. And we're going to be eternally praising and thanking Him for that fact. Let's do it as often as we can now. That's one of the things we do when we come to the Lord's Supper. We thank Him for the cup and what it speaks to us of His blood that was shed. We come and we lift our hearts in praise and sing to Him and thank Him for redeeming us with His precious blood as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And we're just tuning up for when we get to glory. That's what we're doing. Now, the content of the song, back in Exodus chapter 15. I want you to notice, first of all, that they praised Him for who He is, they praised Him for what He had done, and they praised Him for what He was going to do. In verses 2, 3, and 11, they praise Him for just who He is, His person. "The Lord is my strength and song. He's become my salvation. He is my God. I'll prepare Him in habitation. My Father's God." They praise Him in verse 3. "The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is His name," and so on. They praise Him just simply for who He is. And there's one thing I've noticed about this song in the Bible, and anytime you see the first reference to anything, when you see the first thing, look there for important principles that will guide you throughout the rest of the Word of God. But the law of first reference, and here's the first song recorded in the Bible. It is full of references and the name of the Lord. I like songs that have the Lord's name in them, if they're going to be called Christian. I think they ought to have the Lord's name in them somewhere. I suppose there may be some that honor and glorify the Lord that don't have His name, but I often wonder about songs that claim to be praise to the Lord that don't ever mention anything about the Lord specifically. And that's something I think you need to be aware of in a lot of contemporary Christian music. And I'll give you a classic example of that. You remember here a couple of years ago, the song that came out that was very popular in the Christian realm, "You Light Up My Life"? Now, who was the "you" that she was singing to? Because if you would have turned over on the country station, you would have heard the same song playing. If you would have turned over to some of the pop stations, you would have heard the same song playing. You see, that song is what's called a crossover song. It's made so that it can be played acceptably on any kind of station and still be acceptable. And it was a top Christian song in contemporary music. "You Light Up My Life." Now, I'm not saying that the truth of what it was speaking there was not true. But you see, you wonder. Now, if they'd have said, "Lord," why couldn't they simply have said, "Lord, you light up my life, Lord," or something of that nature? We've got to beware of that. I like this song. It's full of the name of the Lord. Let you know. They know. You know when you read this who their praise is to. There's no crossover here. There's no mention about anything else, but it's the Lord's song. I remember listening not too long ago to John W. Peterson, who is a great composer of Christian music. He talked about when he first started out, he composed a certain, I don't know whether it was a cantata or a song, and a company came to him and wanted to buy it. He needed the money at that time. He was just started out. He wanted to get the contract and, I guess, to be known. And they came to him and they said, "This is great. We love it. But we'd like for you to make a couple of little changes." He said, "Well, I can consider that. What would you like me to do?" And they said, "Well, you've got this here, you know, the name of Jesus and the name of the Lord all throughout this thing. We'd like for you to take that out." He thought about it. He thought about the money that he'd make. He thought about getting that song published. And then he thought, "Well, that's the very one who the song is written to. How can I take his name out of it?" He chose not to. The song came to be a very a great song of praise unto the Lord. They sang to the Lord, and you know who they're singing to. There's no question about it. They sang and they praised him for just simply who he is. It's good to do that in your Christian life. Sometime you need to just go to the Lord and praise him simply for who he is. Not for what he's done for you, but simply for his person. And also for what he's done. And on down they talk about the horse has been and the rider has been thrown into the sea. And Pharaoh's chariots and his host, he's cast into the sea. And the Lord has redeemed us and so on. They sing and they praise for what he's done to both their enemies and for them. It's good to praise the Lord for what he's done. I can't help but think of so many of these things that tie in with a worship meeting or with the Lord's Supper. Because we come to praise him for who he is and for what he's done, and then they praised him for what he was going to do. You notice in verse 14, they praised him that people shall hear and be afraid. In verse 17, thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance. They looked forward to what he was going to do. And isn't it so true? We sit and we praise God. We think of what he's done. We think of who he is. And then we can't help but think of what he's going to do. And you know we're not the only ones. All creation groaneth and travaileth until this time. There's only groaning and travailing now. But one day it seems as though all creation is going to break into glorious singing as the Lord Jesus comes back and rules and reigns from this earth. And the curse is reversed and removed. And his glory breaks forth upon this earth. The desert will blossom. It's going to be singing. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. What's the message to us? I think the first thing is that real joy is experienced through redemption. If you want to really set your heart singing, you need to be saved. And if you're saved, your heart should sing unto God. Now, there may come times of sadness and problems, and those things do come. But inside, there's a song in your heart, a song of praise unto him. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He keeps me singing as I go. There's within my heart a melody. And it's true. It's so very true. I break out singing all the time. I don't know what the neighbors think sometimes. I don't know what other people think sometimes. I especially sing, of course, when I'm in the shower. Sometimes I'm glad that I can do this. I don't know what the people around me think. But I'll just be driving down the road and I'll break forth and start singing. My wife's only complaint is that sometimes I sing too loud. bust your eardrums out. But I like to sing. Whether I sing good or not is not the point. But I like to sing to the Lord. And sometimes just riding down the road, I'll start singing. I don't know what those people around me think. Doesn't matter. But I'm experiencing the joy of salvation. And you know, if we're saved, our hearts should be praising Him. Our hearts should be praising Him. There's one more verse in the Psalms I'd like to look at in Psalm 137. I'm going to read it if I get to it before you, because we're running short on time. Psalm 137 in verse 1, it said, "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, Sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land?" Children of Israel had been taken captivity in the land of Babylon. They hung up their harps. There was no song. And their tormentors, their captives, said, "Sing us one of those old songs of Zion." And they said, "How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land?" How can you sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If you're not in the will of God, if you're backslidden or out of fellowship with God, you don't have any song of praise. You're in a strange land. You're in a place where God doesn't necessarily want you, or you're not fulfilling God's real purpose in your life. There's no song for God when you're out of fellowship with Him. If you're not walking with Him, if you're not in the place, the real place and the primary place that He wants you to be. Now, I know that they were there because the Lord had put them there for chastisement. But there's no song if you're out of fellowship with Him. And you know that as well as I do. The real song comes when you're walking in the will of the Lord. And that's scriptural. Because do you know what one of the evidences of being filled with the Spirit is? Not rolling around on the floor and going into convulsions. Be filled with the Spirit. Singing to yourselves. Be glad He put that in there. And you don't have to sing to everybody else. Singing to yourselves. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. One of the evidences of being filled with the Spirit is singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And you know what one of the evidences of being filled with the Word are? And you can't really be filled with the Spirit unless you're filled with the Word, because the results are the same. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Well, if the Word of Christ is dwelling in you richly, if you're allowing the Lord Jesus through the Holy Spirit to rule and reign in your life, if you are allowing the Word to dwell in you richly, in other words, you're being obedient to the Word of God, and it's dwelling in you, it's down at home in you, and there's a song in your heart for the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a song in your heart of praise to Him. And that's the way that it should be. And of course, as we sing now and think about the past, who He is, what He's done for us, our songs break forward and we think of the future. We think of the coming day when the Lord Jesus shall return to receive us unto Himself. And we're going to sing then. We're going to sing. We're going to sing. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And just while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, in the silence of this moment, I just ask you to search your life again. You know whether or not you've been redeemed. You know whether you've been saved. If you've never trusted Christ as Savior, you want to know real joy in life, not only now but for all eternity, turn to Him now. Realize that you've sinned. And as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Just turn to Him and tell Him you know you're a sinner. You want to trust Him now as Savior. And then confess it to somebody. With the heart man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So that we can rejoice with you.
Father, we're thankful today for the Lord Jesus. Lord, how we thank Thee for the blood of the Lamb. Father, we're thankful for the day when those of us who are here that are saved trusted Christ. And Lord, Thou didst set our hearts singing a song of our life, a song of praise to Him. How we thank Thee, Lord. Father, we pray that if there's any here who are not walking with Thee in the way that they should be, if they've hung up their hearts by the river of Babylon, Father, restore unto them the joy of salvation. We pray that they would get their lives right with Thee, that their heart might sing again unto Thee. Proper praise. Father, how we thank Thee for what Thou hast done. We're thankful for the Lord Jesus. We're thankful that all our enemies have been destroyed, even death. We look forward to that coming day when death will be swallowed up in victory. It will be realized at the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. How we thank Thee. Father, may we walk through this world with joy, being filled with the Spirit and with the joy of the Holy Ghost, so that others might see and fear and trust in the Lord. Oh, Father, what a sad world we live in so many ways. So many in this world, Father, don't know real joy, real happiness or fulfillment. And God, how we pray that we might be able to tell them what the source of our joy is, that we've drawn water from the well of salvation, and point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray and we give Thee thanks in our Lord Jesus' name. Amen.